Well, because I have to tell you about different language in order to talk about the Bible. Okay, different language. Let me start with you about what I prepare for today. I have a question. Do you know how many copies of the Bible do we have in the world? How many printed, how many sold out, sold the Bible? No. So I think no one has the exact number. So, you know, I just Google it. Because Google sometimes give us kinds of answer. I Google it. How many copies of Bible do we have? And the Google says more than 5 billion. And I don't know what billion is. I know until million, but I don't know about the billions. Phew, how many numbers is that? But I can tell you that it is so many numbers, right? 5 billion. People say the Bible is the most best-selling book in our human history. And last week, I counted how many books of the Bible I have in my family, and the total is 20 Bibles in my house. Among 20, 14 are printed Bible, right? Like printed one. And 6 are electric versions, because nowadays people use a tablet and cell phone. So I have 6 copies in the electric version and 14 copies as a printed version. And among 20 copies of the Bible, I have 4 different versions of English Bible and another 4 different versions of Korean Bible. And I used to have the Tagalog Bible, the Filipino Bible, but I couldn't find it. Ugh, I'm so sorry. But I have 4 different English and 4 different Korean version. And among the 4 different Korean version, 1 Bible came from North Korea. It was very, very rare. One of the church members in McLean, in the Korean United Methodist Church, he visited North Korea a couple of years ago for the medical mission. He's a medical doctor. And then he bought North Korean version of the Bible for me, and he brought it to me. So I have a North Korean Bible. I just compare the Korean language and I can see the difference, you know, in the Korean version. And I have a question. How many Bibles do you have in your family? Don't count it, okay? Don't count it right now. But if you count after the church, you might surprise because you might have more than you expected. Back in my life in Kentucky, my family visited the birthplace of Abraham Lincoln one day. You know, Abraham Lincoln was born in Kentucky, right? He raised in the Ohio, but he born in the Kentucky. There was a Bible that the President Lincoln used for his presidential inauguration. And the Bible was his grandmother's Bible. Of course, no one could touch it because the Bible was covered with a glass box. But when I saw it, I could feel a spiritual power in the United States because at least we respect the authority of the Bible as God's words for us. That's why the president put their hands on the Bible for their inaugurations, right? Not put on any books, not put any other ethical books, but put their hands on the Bible as word of God and they vote in front of all the American people, right, for the inauguration. And I've been told that we have a Bible museum in D.C., but I haven't had a chance to visit there yet. But when I visited the public library in Manhattan, New York City, a couple of years ago, I saw a copy of the Gutenberg Bible there, covered with glass box. What I am saying is, we know how to respect the Bible, especially the old Bible. I brought the Bible here, 2 Bibles, with a ziplock. It's not mine, but 2 years ago, a couple of our church members, they moved to another state, but they brought me this Bible and they said, this is very, very old Bible from maybe mine, from my grandparents. So we don't wanna, abandon them, but as your pastor, you can keep it. So, oh, sure, of course. So I keep it. And when they left, I opened the Bible because maybe they forgot some offering. I mean, maybe their grandfather or grandparents forgot the offering, put it in the Bible. But there is no offering. But this is the old Bible. I mean, they If it is just ordinary book, and if it is ordinary old book, you know, when they move, they just throw away and they just forget it. But they didn't do that. They brought it, the Bible, as very old Bible, but they don't need it. So they just want their pastor to keep it. So I keep it in my office. And I'm not open this Bible often because I don't want to destroy some kinds of old fashioned of the Bible style. But I see that there's some, you know, worn out already a lot over here. Whenever I visit Korea on the way to go to the Philippines every January, I stop by, you know, stop over my parents' house. And whenever I stop over my parents' house in South Korea, I look at my mother's Bible. And my mother's Bible is very old Bible, because usually we have a Bible words from left to right, left to right, left to right. Very old version of Korean Bible, their word is like from top and down, up and down, like that way. And she's using the Bible maybe for like 40 years, 50 years. And then when I look at her Bible, I couldn't read it because in the Bible, there's Korean and Chinese character mixed everywhere. It's not my style at all. You know, I cannot read it. But when I look at my mother's Bible, every page turned like that way. My mom loved to use red pen to underline. But it's not underline because it's up and down. So she put her red, you know, pen every verse, and she made it her own commentary. So, you know, that's great, you know. I don't have that Bible yet, but I'm making that Bible, just like Mother's Bible. Well, as I share with you, many people know how to respect the Bible, and many people read the Bible. Because there are so many people in the world that have been impacted by the Bible, and then we believe that the Bible is God's word. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. But as many of you know, that the Bible was not a book that the lay persons could read until the Reformation in 1517. Reformation was led by the Martin Luther, 1517. Before the Reformation, only priests could read the Bible before the congregation in Latin language. Which means so few people could understand what the Bible was talking about at that time. Even the priests, they didn't understand. They just knew how to read it, but they didn't know the meaning because it was all the Latin language. But however, after the Reformation, the Bible has been printed in so many different versions, so many different languages, and many people could read the Bible by themselves instead of listening to their priest. But now, I am going to talk about the difference between God's language and human language, as I share with you that the chocolate, okay? That when I met the white ladies, we couldn't communicate, but we exchanged love, right? With our chocolate. God's language and human language is totally different. You know what? When I pray, for example, when I visit one of our church members in the rehab or hospital, when I really, really need to pray with my word, I pray in Korean because God understands Korean, right? God understands English, God understands Korean, God understands all different languages. So I just make excuse me, can I pray for you in Korean? Because I don't pray to let you listen what I say, but I just want to talk to God with my heart language. So, oh, go ahead. So I pray in Korean. Because God's language is behind the human language. We cannot express and we cannot explain God in our language because God cannot be contained in our understandings and in our languages. So, what we have to know is we cannot understand God in our human level of understandings. Okay? It is like this. When we talk to our little children, you know, we know that they cannot understand what others talk. So whenever I go to our preschool, Prison Valley Preschool for the chapel, I'm standing in front of like 30, 40, 50 children there. I cannot preach like I preach here, because they could understand what I'm saying, you know. I have to use very easy word, and so, you know, children's message, Linda, I cannot do that. You are so great. I cannot do that. So this is kind of language. When we talk to our little children, or when you talk to your grandchildren, grandson or granddaughter, you don't talk to them about political issues. You don't talk about impeachment, what's going on here. Because it's not their language. But when we talk to our grandchildren, we voluntarily, we level down ourselves, we lower down ourselves, right? And we try to use their word, candy, chocolate, good job, high five, easy word, to communicate with them. Beautiful, you're so great. Not complicated word. Incarnation, Trinity, no way. That is not their language. So we level down ourselves because they cannot level up to communicate with us. And it is the same. It is exactly the same. In order to communicate with us, God used human language, not divine language. And the Bible, okay, the Bible we have is the God's word manifesting in our human language. So it is divine mystery and divine blessing that God has spoken to us in our language. And it is the Bible. And today's scripture clearly says the Bible is inspired by God. In NIV version said the Bible is breathed by God. Breathed by God. Which means the Bible is written in our human languages through the inspiration from God, through the breath of God. Again, that means the Bible is inspired by God in order to communicate with us. That's why we believe that the Bible is God's word manifesting in our language. And we have to believe in the authority of God. Because God's Bible is authority of the Bible, because the Bible is God's word talking to us in our language. Unfortunately, many people in the world think of the Bible as a story of a fairy tale. When people hear the story of creation, they think of the story as a creative novel. When people listen to the stories that Jesus Christ raised the dead, Jesus Christ healed the sick, fed 5,000 men with 5 bread and 2 fish, and Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, people think of these stories as a kind of fairy tale. Christmas, next month, is not about Jesus, it's not about his birth anymore, but Christmas has become a holiday celebrating with the story of Santa Claus and gifts. We exchange the gift to one another, but we don't give the gift to Jesus Christ, even in the birthday of Jesus Christ. When we talk about the last book of the Bible, Revelation, many people think of the story as not a relevant story to our life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the problem that we have to admit is we, Christians, okay, followers of Christ, also think of the Bible irrelevant in our lives in many, many ways, in many times. So many Christians don't read the Bible. Or many Christians think it is enough to listen to pastors and their sermons instead of reading the Bible by themselves. Many Christians substitute the teaching of the Bible to moral and ethical teachings. You know why? Because they don't know what the Bible talks about, what the Bible says, because they don't read it. We have to admit the authority of the Bible, and we have to believe in the scripture as it is word of God speaking to us in our language. And the only way to admit the Bible's authority and the only way to believe in the Bible is to read it regularly. Back in my childhood, I wrote letters to my grandmother who lived in a very rural area in Korea at that time. You know, my grandma, she passed away a long time ago, but my grandmother lived in the very near from the border between South and North Korea. So it's very rural area. And my mom and my father asked me to write a letter to my grandma. So I just like, in the elementary, you know, handwriting, "Grandma, I miss you." And then, "Mom, I don't have anything to write. Say something. I love you. I don't have And then I sent it. Then my grandma sent me back her letters. When I open and read the letters from my grandma, many times I couldn't read and I couldn't understand them. I couldn't understand the letter because my grandmother used her own old Korean expression on the letters that I couldn't understand. And her spelling was different from what I learned from school. She's an old lady. That's why her spelling is different from mine. So I passed them to my mom, and my mother interpret those letters into very easy Korean version of, you know, letters. Although there are many paragraphs and sentences in the letter, I could know what my grandmother talked to me on the letters. She expressed her love for me, and she expressed her concerns, and she tried to give me the life lessons, and she encouraged me. She tried to teach me something, the wisdom from the, you know, aged person. And she said she missed me a lot, and she said she loved me a lot. Even there are so many sentences, if I summarize every letter, it's just the same, like that. And I believe, my dear brothers and sisters, there is no difference between the letter from my mom, my grandmom, and the letter from our God. In the Bible, we can find God's love, God's concerns, God's lessons, and God's encouragement for all of us. I can tell you the letters from my grandmother to me were love letter. You know, the love letter I experienced about the love letter to exchange the love letter to my girlfriend, you know, when I was young. Where's my wife? She's not here, right? Well, I exchanged a letter with my wife. Love letter, right? I can say the letter from my grandmother was love letters. It is the same that the Bible is the God's love letter to all of us. So if you don't read the Bible, there is no other way to confirm God's love in your life. You know, we need, as a human, we need to check and check and check and recheck and recheck and confirm the love from others. So we often ask, "Hey, do you love me really? Do you love me really?" We want to check the love, right? And how many times do you talk to your friend, talk to your children, your grandchildren, "I love you"? We say, "I love you, love you, love you," because we confirm our love to others, and we also want to confirm their love to me. The Bible is full of God's expression to us, "I love you, I love you." And it is so true that God loves you and me because the Bible tells me so. "I love you. I love you." So when you open your Bible, okay, do not open it with any feeling of religious obligation. Do not open it with any religious duty. "Oh, Pastor Eugene asked us to read it, so I have to read it." No, do not open it with any duty, any obligations of religious, you know, life, but open it with excitement and love as you open love letters from your beloved one. Oh, yes, open it and look at the story and read all the story. And this is love letter for me from God. You know why? You will find God's love in the Bible. It doesn't matter how many copies of the Bible you have in your family. But the matter is whether we believe in the Bible as God's word, and whether we really read the Bible to confirm God's love for us every day. All scriptures is inspired by God. And all scriptures is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. What do we believe, my dear brothers and sisters? We believe in God's word in the Bible, and we believe God is speaking to us through the Bible today. That is what we believe. Let us pray.